as I was walking down the street one day. A man came up to me and asked me what the time was. That was on my watch. Yeah, that's it. Does anybody really know what time it is?
News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Good morning. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg. Mike and I are smiling as we get ready for the Garden Line this Tuesday.
Well, Chicago asked a question. Does anybody know what time it is?
And does anybody really care? That's the mood we're in this morning. That's the mood we're in this morning.
But at least you were singing it, Meg.
I love this. I love Chicago. I had all their albums. I loved every word, every note.
Well, the reason I wanted to do that, I have had a good friend who saw them last week in concert.
Oh, who?
A friend.
Oh, okay.
A friend.
No, I meant who in the concert. Oh, you said
Chicago.
Okay.
Oh, Chicago in the concert in Las Vegas.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
I'd be in big trouble.
Oh, okay. Well, we won't go there.
Okay, very good. Anyway, how you doing?
I'm pretty good. It's a little chilly for my taste, but that's okay, you know. And if you just joined us, just to clarify, this is The Garden Line with Mike Wiggins, and he's here with us for an hour every Tuesday morning talking about gardening and the lawns and flowers and shows and everything you could think about that has anything to do with gardening.
So much fun. When I walked into the studio today, Tina, who always greets me when I get here, said, "Mother Nature is confused."
She does have that right. So we talked about this, the fake spring.
Exactly.
And did we not say last week we're going to get another cold snap?
Right. And we're still going to have another cold snap.
You think we will?
I think so.
Oh, my goodness.
Don't forget, we talked about this last week. Don't forget that little Easter cold.
Oh, that's right.
That we always have. And that's, golly.
You're right.
35, 40 days away.
Well, I'm not happy because the azaleas around my place were blooming bright pink yesterday.
Oh, absolutely. You're going to see that. Cause we're going back. This is what the thing about this last cold, the last couple of nights. It's quick. I mean, it's all done now. We're going back to the 70s. A little bit of rain maybe at the end of the week. We need the rain, too.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to talk about that before the show is over, about how much and when to water, because it's... We are kind of dry. We had a little bit of rain, but not enough.
Right.
So,
said back to the 70s, so we did pick the right song.
We did. Good. Well, you're quick this morning.
Woo, watch out. I had a cup of coffee.
Oh, yeah. Good for you.
Okay, well, meanwhile, we've got a guy on the phone. Kevin has called into the show.
Said he has
a question for you right off the bat. So if you have a question for Mike, please text it in at the Garden Line at 850-437-1620. And I think Kevin is on the line. Can you hear us, Kevin?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Hey, welcome to Pep Talk in the Garden Line. What's your question for Mike?
What would be a good pre-emergent, granular pre-emergent to put on the yard?
Well, I quite frankly prefer a liquid pre-emergence. Atrazine is a good one. You may find that in granular form, but I would much rather use the liquid atrazine. It's one we've used for years and years and years. There's another one out there that I read about just the other day. It's called Barricade. Now, I read the label, and keep in mind, I think it took me 30 minutes to read the label. It's like reading a long novel. But it did say it could be used on St. Augustine, Centipede, and Zoysia. However, if you do see that, I'd like you to read the label too, Kevin, because it is kind of new.
Mm-hmm.
So in any event, I say kind of new. It's probably been around a long time, but it's new for us. So I would really like you to read that label. And if you do... You just got to pay attention to some of the details that really are on all of these pre-emergence labels. One, don't get it in your flower beds. I don't want you to do that. As I say, learn what you need to do to protect yourself. Meg and I have talked about this little list a long time. Long sleeve shirts, long pants. Wear a mask. And like I said, we all have some masks sitting around the house. Maybe even some safety glasses and a hat. Whatever it, gloves, whatever it takes to protect yourself. Because these weed killers are strong, and you just don't want to get them all over yourself. Mm-hmm. So, but the atrazine is good. And Kevin, you're right on target in that now is the time. I mean, like now.
Even with cold today?
Oh, sure.
Okay.
Because it'll be warm today. It'll probably get up into the maybe the high 50s or 60s. But we will be in the 70s as we approach the end of the weeks. And as we do that, and if we start our watering, you're going to see a lot of these weeds come up. Once they're up, it's a little bit late. Because the name says it all. It's a pre-emergence. It keeps those weeds from emerging. So that's exactly what I would do.
Well, I'm curious, and maybe Kevin, he might want to hear the same answer. So why do you prefer the liquid versus the granular?
I think you can be more selective as where you put it. Mm-hmm. For example, if you use a pump-up sprayer, which I think is a good idea, go spray the areas where you've had weed problems. If you have an area in your yard that doesn't have that, I think you can isolate it better with the liquid. That's just a personal preference. And use a pump-up sprayer. You could use a hose attachment sprayer, either one. But here's the key. If you do that, you've still got to do the math. You've got to do some arithmetic. You really do. Because on the label, it's going to tell you to how much to mix per gallon, how many gallons per square foot. So if you've got a front yard that's, say, 3,000 square feet, you just have to do the math to produce so many gallons over that 3,000 square feet. Now, if you've just got weeds here, weeds there, everywhere, then you still need to kind of figure out, because you don't want to put too much. Talking about Las Vegas a minute ago, it's not like playing poker, but you can double up to catch up. That can cause you some real problems. And what you're going to find, Kevin, and I know you've done this, you've done your research, if you're looking for atrazine in granular form, you're going to find it everywhere, probably in a weed and feed product. It'll have the fertilizer with it. You don't want that. We're going to not do fertilizer till earliest April. You just don't want to do it now.
Yeah.
But if you do that, you get that weed and feed on there, what you can see is you'll promote with that fertilizer in that weed and feed, it'll promote new growth in those blades of grass. The ground is still cold, and you'll get yellowing. It'll get what I call legal pad yellowing, canary yellowing
in
your yard. And generally that your lawn will, as it gets into late spring and summer, will recover from that. But there's no need to even face it. So just don't even feel, or don't even mess with the weed and feed products. Do your atrazine. And once again, Kevin, if it's easier for you to do the granular, that's okay. The liquid is just my preference. But don't have it mixed up with a fertilizer. That's important.
Okay, Kevin. Thank you so much for calling in with that question. All right.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Appreciate it. If you've got a question for Mike, you can text in at 850-437-1620. Got lots to talk about this morning. I know Mike always comes in with legal pads of notes of what he wants to share with y'all every morning.
Well, I do. Well, we've only got about 30 seconds here.
We've got a minute.
Before this break. Yeah. Let's just get off of gardening for just a minute and congratulate the USA hockey teams, men and women.
Yes, I'm so excited.
For women winning the gold. I've never seen a bunch of young men that excited, and rightly so.
It was great.
Good for them. That was great. I thought the Winter Olympics were fantastic.
I've been talking about it. I mean, I just love the Winter Olympics.
Oh, I really do.
I was totally watched everything, even the things I don't understand.
Yeah. And I real quick, we need to get back to gardening. What is that half pipe?
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, any human go up that ledge?
I'm telling you.
Do a triple twist, then come back down and survive it.
I watched that two or three times. It was absolutely unbelievable what they do. And the other one was the one kind of off a ski jump, because I used to think ski jumping was something else.
Yes.
But now they're doing the same ski slope into it propels you up into the air, and then they do about four flips and then land. I don't understand how they're not breaking their legs.
I don't either.
I don't understand it.
But I certainly respect and honor those athletes. They are true athletes.
Well, you know what the best part is, Mike, to me, is seeing every country and every person, no matter where they were from, they'd be on those stands and just hugging each other. You could have China hugging Poland and Poland hugging the U.S. and the U.S. hugging some little island out in who knows where.
I totally agree.
A name I can't even pronounce, a country.
Yeah, the respect.
It's just, I love it.
The respect each athlete had for other athletes, no matter where they were from.
Right.
And sometimes no matter who won or lost.
That's right. That's what I'm saying, the sportsmanship.
It was just sportsmanship, which maybe in many other areas we need a lot of that.
And on that note, we're going to take a quick break.
Step aside.
Step aside. Drop the mic. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with The Garden Line. We'll be back in just a couple minutes. This is The Garden Line on Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel. Mike Wiggins is here. He is our gardening expert, and he's here to answer your questions and comments and talk a little bit about the season we're in now for gardeners. 850-437-1620. Just talked a little bit about pre-emergence and what to do. So that's, we're right. This is the time.
That's a timely thing. Let's kind of jump back to our opening comments about water and rain. I just think it's time to get back to a scheduling of your water and your sprinkler system. I would say at least just water two times a week for 30 minutes, unless we've had a hard rain. What we don't want really is a hard rain. We want a slow, long rain, so we get a soaking rain is probably the best way to put it. So don't neglect that. Also, so funny, I had someone come up to me and was expressing the frustration with someone who was doing their lawn. They said he had the big, big mower, and he mowed my lawn, St. Augustine, and he mowed it less than 2 inches. She says, I didn't see him do it. And it just drove me crazy because this person knew better.
Mm-hmm.
He said, you just cannot scalp the lawn this time of year. I had a grandson run my lawnmower over my yard. I kept it at 4 inches.
Okay.
That's what St. Augustine wants. And, of course, I didn't really get much up, but you can tell it was mowed, and that's what looked better. And some of the winter weeds were already coming up on part of the yard, and it knocked those down, so it looked better. So if you have to mow the lawn or want to, just be sure you do it at the exact same level that you do it in the summertime. Just don't scalp it. That is so important. So we need to look at our water. If you don't want to mow the lawn, do so. If you want to do some mulching, it's a good time to do that. Don't forget, who's our good supplier for mulching? Remember? Lucky. Lucky's Pine Straw.
Pine Straw, yes. Lucky's Pine Straw.
over on North Davis. Lucky, he's got some pine straw over there. And it's nice and clean. Sometimes you buy pine straw and it's not that clean. It's kind of got gray. Looks gray on the inside. It's got sticks and rocks. Lucky's is pretty good.
Okay.
Pretty good pine straw.
Okay. You heard it right here on
right
the
here.
Line.
You've been waiting for that.
Uh-huh. Okay. 850-437-1620. Mike, we got lots of texts rolling in this morning.
Great.
Yes, we do. Even though it's a little chilly, people are thinking about their gardens and their flowers. So Kim just texted in, does deadheading the knockout roses discourage more blooms? Or encourage more blooms?
Okay. Good question.
Mm-hmm.
Good question. Not really. That's one thing about knockout roses. You don't really have to deadhead them like that.
What does that mean, just in case, for those of us who don't know?
Kind of pinch off the bloom, if you will.
Oh, okay.
You know, when it's all said and done.
Mm-hmm.
You don't really have supposed to be, I think, how do the experts word it? Self-cleaning.
Oh.
Exactly. So, and on the knockout roses, some of the literature is saying just don't even prune them for the first couple of years, and then only prune them into the shape that you want. You don't even have to, but if you want it to, you know, stay nice and tailored, and you want to cut it back 15-20%,
mm-hmm.
won't hurt anything. But you don't really have to, insofar as, especially early on after you buy it, do a little pruning, like you would if you had bought a tea rose, or a floribunda or a grandiflora. You know, you need to really cut those down. You know, but on the knockouts. Now, you may want to get in there and cut off any dead branches, any crossing branches, all of that. But I wouldn't worry about it. But that's why they're so popular, is that they take care of themselves.
So that's what I should start with.
Oh, no question. No question. No, if you've got that anthurium, that's world class.
It's beautiful.
No doubt about it.
Two more blooms.
All right. But yeah, knockouts are great. And like we've talked about when we had our rose discussion, mm-hmm. it has totally revolutionized the rose business. Those who are rose experts know that Jackson and Perkins and Weeks are two nationally known, probably worldwide known, suppliers of roses. And their business has suffered over the years because of the knockout roses.
Really?
Have taken, for example, we talked about grandiflora roses the other day,
right.
which is a larger growing rose, big blossoms, and literature is saying those have really fallen in popularity. And, but if a knockout rose, I will say this, I have two knockout roses. And this summer and fall, they were spectacular.
What are the colors?
Well, I've got a red one.
Mm-hmm.
Remember it was the lady that sent us last week the rainbow?
Yes, that
remember
was
that,
beautiful.
Remember that picture she sent
yes.
us? Yeah, they have pink and white and all that. But the popular one
mm-hmm.
that most people plant is the red one, no doubt about it.
Okay.
But, some people will look at it and say, that's not a rose. It's kind of a single petaled bloom.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll tell you, if you're looking for a lot of blooms, over a long period of the year, the knockout rose is a great one. And then you can plant it, and I don't want to say you don't have to take care of it. You got to water it and take care of it that way. Watch out for bugs.
Mm-hmm.
But it really, in my opinion, and you rose growers out there might correct me, I believe that knockouts are much less susceptible to the big problems roses get, powdery mildew and black spot.
Hmm.
Most of your tea roses and floribundas will get that. And they speak for themselves. The black spot is a big black spots on each leaf. And powdery mildew looks like baby powder. Somebody put on there. It's funguses. And you have to treat it with a rose fungicide.
Mm-hmm.
But I tell you, I don't think the knockouts get them quite as bad. I'd love to hear from somebody who grows a lot of knockout roses, see if I'm saying that right. But from my experience, it's been the case.
Okay. 850-437-1620. And as far as knockout roses go, you had me at low maintenance. This is the Garden Line with Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel. Mike Wiggins is here. 850-437-1620. He's going to be here for another half hour, so plenty of time to get your gardening questions in. And we've got quite a few, which we will try to get to in the next half hour. But I do have to say that we got a great text here from Carolyn, and she says that they, in big exclamation points, they are back. And Mike, she sent us a picture, a beautiful picture of you. Ready? A hummingbird. And she says, I have had one coming for 2 weeks now. And she said, and another nice thing, she's always loved your program. You two make a great pair. So we appreciate that, Carolyn, because that is just awesome. And now, have you seen any hummingbirds yet?
No.
Okay. So this is early, isn't it?
Oh, I think it's early, yes. But I'll tell you what I will do this week.
What's that?
I will put my hummingbird feeders up again.
There you go. Because you don't have your Zeppelin.
That really is cool. I thought when you said that, she had called, or she had sent us a text, a picture of a bird.
Uh-huh.
I said, it must be a purple martin.
That's what you said.
They should be back.
Okay.
I haven't seen them. Of course, I put up a martin house 3 years ago. I haven't seen a martin yet. But they do come in this time of year. They send a scout.
Mm-hmm.
They send scouts
they do.
In. And to try, I guess, to identify where they were last year.
Really?
Yeah, you put
That's
martin house. You see them all over town.
Uh-huh.
Put them on a high post.
Yes, I have seen those.
The white would usually... green on them, and martins are great. They're beautiful. They look like the blue angels flying around.
Oh, wow.
Exactly. But they will supposedly help control mosquitoes.
Huh.
Yeah.
That's
called purple martins. A beautiful, shiny, blackish, purplish bird. And I thought that's what I was going to look at.
Yeah.
I said, lo and behold, that's not a martin.
that's
beautiful. That's a hummingbird.
And a big one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a big one.
Absolutely.
So that's exciting because I remember last year we were waiting for quite a while before they showed up, as I recall.
We did. I wonder if this is some kind of scout or
could be
the early arriver. Who knows? Who knows? But hummingbirds are so cool to watch. They fight like children.
Oh, I love them. They're just
other.
Beautiful.
They're just fun to watch.
So now it's time to get those hummingbird.
It's hummingbird feeder up there, absolutely.
Yeah, okay. Well, have you seen the new feeders now that have cameras on them?
I have one.
That's what you were talking about. That
I have one. I had a hummingbird because hummingbirds have their separate feeders. But oh no, it's great. I had my grandchildren gave it to me.
It's so
for
cool.
Christmas. It is cool.
And you can look up the bird on the.
It'll tell you.
Yeah, it'll tell you what the bird is.
Come on and say this is a wren or this is a blue jay.
And you can look at it on your phone.
Exactly.
So cool.
This morning I did look at. I did have the first blue jay I have seen.
Oh.
In a couple of months.
Wow.
And I always thought the blue jays stayed here.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't migrate, but they did, and they're back.
Okay, well, we'll be back right after the news with the Garden Line and Mike Wiggins on Pep Talk. Good Tuesday morning to you. This is the Garden Line on Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel. Our host of the Garden Line each week is Mike Wiggins, and you can always rehear this podcast. If you're in your car and he says something, goes, gosh, I wish I could have written that down, well, you can totally listen to it right on our website at newsradio923.com. Click on podcast, click on the Garden Line, and then you can listen to every podcast he has ever done, ever, is on that website. How cool is that?
People are rushing to
how cool is that?
I doubt it.
Before the break, we were talking about hummingbirds.
Well, I just appreciate the text because that really is a big surprise to me that there's a hummingbird there that early. I just wonder, and this is just making it up, just wonder if maybe that they are some type of scout, you know, or you know, they think
could be
that they're here. And so we'll see.
Too bad I couldn't have a scout.
Exactly. I really,
check
really
this out before I go, please.
Really appreciate the text. That is great stuff.
Great stuff. Okay, we got another text that came in this morning. Totally different topic.
Okay.
So get ready. Put your other gardening hat on. Is there a gardenia that will grow well in our area but does not need to be deadheaded to continue blooming? I want to have, this is the dream, I want to have a gardenia hedge by my front door that smells great, but that I won't need to constantly deadhead. Asking too much? Question mark. LOL. That's me. Am I asking?
I guess
too
my
much?
Answer to that is yes.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, the gardenia is a great choice.
I love that smell, gardenia.
I think you're still going to have to do some maintenance on the gardenia, and there are a couple of things that you need to know. I'm sure just the texture knows about gardenias, but they like, I wouldn't put it in pure sun.
That was my question.
Yeah, that may be a little bit much. A little filtered shade would probably be best. Now, gardenias are in the same category as azaleas and camellias. They like an acid soil. So if you're fertilizing, a good azalea, camellia, gardenia fertilizer would be the best thing to use it for. If it's in a container, you just don't have to overdo it, and you wouldn't have to fertilize it that much. But gardenias do a couple things. One, they'll get scale. Now, the person who texted us does not want to have a lot of maintenance on their gardenia, and I don't blame them a bit. But the scale, of course, is the little white dots that get on the bottom of the leaves, and they just kind of suck the juices out of the plant. And when they do that, you get the black sooty mold on the gardenia. Same thing on azaleas and camellias, and that the sun doesn't get on the leaves, and you have a problem. So you really need to spray for that. And I like to use ultra-fine oil. Now, I know the person in Texas said, Mike, I wanted no maintenance. What are you talking about? But a little spring and fall, ultra-fine oil on your gardenias.
A particular type of oil?
No, that's what it's called.
It's
called ultrafine. You'll find it different brand names like Fertilome, but ultrafine oil. You don't get it at an auto supply place.
I was thinking olive oil, but that's where my mind went.
Too expensive. But look out for the scale and then spray accordingly. And a lot of people will just spray in the spring and the fall, no matter what, because it will help that plant get through the summer. Also, gardenias many times will suffer from chlorosis, which is an absence of iron. Sometimes a little granular iron is not a bad idea to put on there. And the symptoms of that is the yellowing leaves.
Hmm.
Some of the leaves on the gardenia will turn yellow, and you'll say, oh, I've got all kind of problems here. Well, it just needs a little bit of iron. But this is very scientific, so be ready for this. We're talking about the yellow leaves.
Mm-hmm.
Some kind of gardenias just do that.
Interesting. Well, that's true because I think of them. They do have the yellow leaves.
They do get the yellowing leaves, and they'll come off, and the plant will be fine. But I think the ultrafine oil, the azalea and camellia fertilizer, And if you get any of that chlorosis, a little granular or even liquid iron would be great. If you get liquid iron, get a liquid iron that is chelated iron. That's going to give it a quicker release. So gardenias can be great, but unfortunately, compared to other plants, compared to that knockout rose we talked about a minute ago, gardenias do need a little bit of maintenance.
So in the terms of this, the life cycle of a gardenia, because I don't know, and I love them, I love the smell, when would you start, would you plant them now? If you were going to do potted plants, do you plant them now?
I'd go ahead and do it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, once again, if we
and
just
when do they typically bloom?
Oh, they'll bloom in the early spring.
Early spring, okay.
That type of thing. But what I'm saying is be careful, because you're taking a little bit of a chance planting them now if we should get that horrible, horrible cold. You know, if we went down into the teens again, I don't think we will. But I don't think planting them now would be a bit of a problem.
Okay, we've opened up Pandora's box, got lots of texts rolling in about gardenias. So first of all, Kim says, has a question, when do we cut back our gardenias? And then the second question comes from our friend Steve in Escambia Bay, wants to know, how about a dwarf gardenia?
Yes. Dwarf gardenias are great. Maybe that's probably the one that our texter should plant in that container. One of the standard varieties of gardenia is called Gardenia Mystery.
Ooh.
Yes, that's a traditional gardenia that does very well here. And but if you're doing a container, the gardenia, the dwarf gardenia, is a little, obviously, it's dwarf. Doesn't grow quite as high as the Gardenia Mystery. And it's really, really a pretty plant. Pretty blooms. It really is.
Mm-hmm.
So, and great, smells great. And always on a blooming plant like azalea, camellia, gardenia, a good time to prune them is after they bloom.
Okay.
Let them bloom and go ahead and do it. Like azaleas. If the last thing you want to do right now is to go out there and prune any azaleas. That's the last thing, because all the buds are there. They've been set since last summer.
Mm-hmm.
And let it bloom, enjoy it. And as soon as you look at those plants and say, those blooms have had it, then cut it back.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Okay. 850-437-1620, talking with our expert on the expert panel, because this is the Garden Line with Mike Wiggins. So if you've got a question or comment, 850-437-1620. So far we've talked about pre-emergence, we've talked about roses, we've talked about knockout roses and gardenias. What else should we be looking out for now that it's on? I mean, this is the last week of February already.
I'm telling you what, we are getting close to spring.
I know.
And daylight savings time starts. Somebody is going to have to text us and tell us that. I think it starts, is it the first or second week in March?
It's coming up. I think it's March 8th. Is that?
Yes,
put it on
it's
my calendar?
Very soon. Boy, I like daylight saving time. I think anybody who is a gardener probably likes that too, because you can get off work or do what you have to do during the day, and late in the afternoon you've got plenty of light to go do your gardening. And many times, of course, it's a little cooler then. So I like daylight saving time, especially in regards to gardening.
Okay.
Here in Pensacola.
Not this Saturday and Sunday, but it'll be next March 8th is the first day.
That is
so it's coming up.
That's
2 weeks.
Great. Good for us. Okay. You know what we did not do last week? We talked about trees. And I had just a handful more.
Okay.
Remember, we talked about, I wrote them down. We talked about dogwoods, redbud, river birch, Japanese magnolia, red maples, crepe myrtles, and sycamores. There are just a couple more.
Okay.
We need to talk about it. Live oaks.
Oh.
A traditional, beautiful tree for Pensacola. You can tell a live oak from other oaks, like a water oak, because the leaves are cupped.
Mm-hmm.
You can put them in your hand, it's kind of, it'll hold water. One thing about the leaves on an oak, live oak tree, they're going to fall this time of year, and it is going to be a mess. But it's worth it, because the live oak is such a pretty tree. Now, a lot of people will say, I want to plant a live oak, but it's so slow growing. And granted, it is initially. You first put it in the ground. It's going to take a couple of years for it to really take hold, get that root system strong, but then you're going to get much quicker growth after a couple of years, no doubt about it.
Okay, fabulous. We're covering a lot of topics this morning. 850-437-1620. This is the Garden Line on Pep Talk. We'll be back after the break. Good morning. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg. I'm laughing here because we got texts coming in and calls coming in and trying to get to everybody as fast as we can. So right away, we got a question here, Mike, from Mike, who has a question for you. And we've got some more to get to. So we're going to do our best in the next few minutes to get to as many questions as we can. But go ahead, Mike. You're live now on the air.
Thank you, Meg. This is Mike Stevens, Mike, from Pace.
Yes, sir.
A number of years ago. Hi. A number of years ago, we had a number of Indian hawthorns.
Yes.
Installed. And I didn't realize at the time that I guess they have some type of just endemic problem that is unsolvable. Mine have done well. I've sort of nursed them. But now they're really doing what they call skeletonizing. And I guess my only choice is to rip them out. I was just curious if you knew of anything that's worth doing.
Well, let me put it to you this way. Indian hawthorn is also known as Raphiolictus. And okay. it was a, for years, it was a standard, kind of a lower-growing, basic shrub in Pensacola. And what happened, it got Photinia leaf spot. Well, if you remember, way back in the day, we used to plant red top all over Pensacola, basic shrub,
right.
Just like ligustrum. It got the leaf spot, and you don't see them anymore. They just don't grow them. They don't have them. Very seldom would you see a red top. Same with Raphiolictus. Now, back in the day when I was in that business, let me tell you, I tried everything, every fungicide I could think of, and I could not solve it. And I think a lot of people have described the damage just like you just did. I would say unless I would probably start over. A great substitute for that, of course, is a dwarf yaupon. That's the Ilex vomitoria.
Okay.
But the only problem with the dwarf yaupon is that there are no blooms. You know, it's just foliage.
Right.
And so, so you're missing all that Raphiolictus on the Indian hawthorn. It was a beautiful, basic landscaping plant, and I just don't see much of it anymore. Just like I say, just like the red top, it just, what if I
it's
said
just gone.
It became extinct?
Yeah, that's what I was afraid of.
Right.
And by the way, guys, Paul from Blue Sky Landscaping just texted in on this topic. And
maybe he's got a solution.
He says, let me see if I can read this. Dwarf Walters, viburnum is a great replacement for this for his hawthorns.
Right. That's a viburnum.
That's it.
Exactly, and that's a good choice.
Okay.
That's a good choice. But you know, sometimes you're just not going to find the perfect substitute for a low-growing, mounding, blooming plant. One plant you might want to consider is maybe some of your encore azaleas. Now, you know, they'll bloom.
I'm thinking about azaleas.
Yeah, but the encores. And if you plant those, they got different colors. I've got a few white ones. They'll bloom in the spring, as azaleas do, but they'll also bloom for you in the fall. That's why they call them encore. They make a comeback. So you might think of that as a substitute. But Paul's right. That viburnum, dwarf viburnum, is a good choice also.
Okay, great. Thank you so much for calling in this morning. We appreciate you.
And so I appreciate y'all. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. Good to hear from you.
This is the Garden Line on Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel, 850-437-1620. Going to do my best to try to get to all the different questions. You had one that came in just a minute ago from Kyle.
From Kyle.
He's off now. But do you remember what he asked?
No.
Kyle, I'm so sorry. We both were looking blankly at each other. We got caught up in another conversation.
Kyle, call us back.
Call us back, buddy.
Kyle, let's put you on the air.
Yeah, okay. 850-437-1620. Call us back and we'll get you on the air. In the meantime, though, we do have some other questions that have come in. Someone was asking, when building a flower bed around trees, let's see, how much dirt around the said trees is too much in depth? And this is from Kevin.
Yeah, I don't like to. Kevin, I don't like to put any soil up the trunk of the tree.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is really a basic problem a lot of people have is they put that dirt up the trunk of the tree, and the plant is just simply, to make it simple, it just doesn't like that. it won't thrive with that dirt going up by the tree. Now, you can have a raised bed around a tree, but kind of dig out around the trunk so that dirt doesn't actually go up the trunk. So I would be very careful with that. That could cause some real problems.
Okay, great questions coming in. 850-437-1620. Back to the gardenias. One of our listeners wants to know when to fertilize gardenias and when to give the iron and ultrafine oil.
Very good. Fertilize, I would do it after the last freeze. I would probably do it in the spring. I'd do it in April. Would be a good time to do that. Not a bad idea at all. Insofar as ultrafine oil, a lot of the people who are listening probably remember the old Volk oil spray. It was an Ortho product. Well, it had a very narrow window where one could spray your gardenias with that oil spray. The new ultrafine oil, that window has expanded, so you have more time. Because back with the old Volk, if it got too cold or too hot, you could damage your plant. Well, same with ultrafine, but if you can put it out and probably in, I'd say, late March and April, and you'll be fine.
Okay.
Yeah, but that's important, because if you do look for an alternate oil spray and find that old Volk, I don't even know if they make it anymore. Boy, read that label, because it'll tell you those temperature restrictions.
Okay, you're listening to The Garden Line with our expert, Mike Wiggins. We're covering a lot of topics this morning. 850-437-1620. We'll be back right after the break. This is The Garden Line on Pep Talk. Just a few minutes left, Mike, and we wanted to get to one of our callers, and unfortunately we got disconnected. However, the question was...
was when to fertilize our fruit trees.
Yes.
And how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, this is it's going to sound very scientific, so I'll be very careful. I would buy fertilizer that calls itself fruit tree fertilizer. They sell it everywhere, and that's the way to do it. But
my kind of fertilizer right there.
Exactly. But here's what I recommend. If you've got, let's say you've got an apple tree,
mm-hmm.
all right? You've got an apple tree. Well, measure the distance from the edge of the leaves, the edge of the branches, if you will, all the way through the trunk to the other side of where the branches are.
Hmm.
That's called get that diameter, all right? And what you want to do, you want to say, if that's, say, 15 feet,
okay,
maybe 20 feet, you want 1 pound of fertilizer for every foot of diameter of that tree. And put it along, you put it all the way under the tree, but concentrate on the edge of the branches all the way around that circumference. That's called the drip line of the tree, because that's where the roots are. The roots aren't up there right by the trunk. They're out on the edge. So 1 pound for every foot of diameter is a pretty good way to do it.
Wow, that's so, I've never heard that. That's so interesting.
Yeah.
And is that true for citrus trees as well?
Any
fruit tree?
Oh, sure. Oh, I think so. But I will say this, because I'm glad he called. We were talking about trees. Never got to it today. We'll do it next week. But keep in mind, you can grow apples and pears, peaches, plums, figs here in Pensacola. On that apple, I think we said this one time before, but let's do it again. Only 3 varieties of apple trees are recommended. Dorset Golden, which are yellow apples,
mm-hmm.
blush with pink, Anna apples, and one called Tropic Sweet. I've never seen that one, but that's what the state recommends, Tropic Sweet. But you can also plant those peaches, plums, and nectarines, and if somebody's interested, give us a call next week. We'll kind of talk about some of those varieties. But absolutely, so just get them fertilized. This cold weather we had probably helped them.
Mm-hmm.
They like a dormant season. And they're going to start putting on growth and produce, and you'll be in good shape.
All right, we've got about 20 seconds for this last quick question. I'm going to put reemergence on my weed killer on my lawn today. Am I too late, or is it right on time?
Right on time.
Okay,
do it.
Thank you so much. This has been Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel, and The Garden Line with our host extraordinaire, Mike Wiggins. Thanks, Mike. Always
Thank you,
great.
Meg. Always fun.
Always a lot of fun. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel.